Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so today we're diving into Citigroup's third quarter 2024 earnings. We've got both their earnings transcript and the presentation deck. And let me tell you, there's a lot to unpack here. We're talking record quarters, interesting partnership they just announced, and some global economic insights. We're going to cover it all. So we'll start by getting a feel for Citi's overall performance and where they see themselves going strategically. Then we'll get into the details, the highlights, and some of the challenges they're facing across their five key businesses. One thing that really caught my eye, they've partnered up with Apollo on this huge private credit deal, and their wealth management arm is showing some really strong growth. We're going to break down why that matters to you. Okay, first let's set the scene a bit. What's the global economic picture that Citigroup is operating in right now? Jane Fraser, their CEO, talked about how the global economy is actually doing better than expected, even with growth slowing down.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Even with the slowdown, there's a kind of cautious optimism out there, especially here in the U.S. The jobs report recently was positive, and, you know, U.S. consumers are still in a good spot financially, even though they're being a bit more careful about what they spend on. And it looks like the corporate sector is ready to take on some new opportunities. Europe's a different story, though. Manufacturing there is still struggling, which makes it hard to see a quick turnaround. They've got some bigger structural issues to work through, and that's impacting their competitiveness.
So globally, it's this kind of push and pull some bright spots, but some real areas of concern. And this all matters to you because it affects, well, it affects a lot. The companies you're invested in, the interest rates you're paying, even how much everyday things cost. All right, so let's zoom in on Citigroup now. How did they actually do this quarter? Well, they reported a net income of $3.2 billion, earnings per share of $1.51, and an ROTCE, return on tangible common equity, of 7%. What impressed me was they managed to achieve positive operating leverage across all five other business areas. So basically, they're becoming more efficient and growing at the same time.
Right. Those figures really do show a pretty healthy Citigroup. They're making good progress towards their goal of getting to an 11 to 12% ROTCE, which would put them in a really strong position.
Jane Fraser kept saying pivotal year. I'm curious what strategic shifts that might mean. Now, let's take a look at each of Citigroup's five business lines. First up, services. Services had a killer quarter, with revenue shooting up 8%. That's a mix of good fee growth and really strong results in treasury and trade solutions, TTS, and security services.
Yeah, those are the two that stood out to me, too. What's impressive is it's not just growth, it's that they're taking market share in both TTS and security services. In the first half of the year, they hit over 10% wallet share in their target markets. That's tough to beat.
So services is doing great. Let's move on to markets. It's a bit of a mixed bag here. Fixed income was down, but equities more than made up for that, spiking by 32%.
That jump in equities is mostly from their prime brokerage services. Balances there are up 22%. Also seeing good growth in derivatives, another positive sign.
All right, on to banking. Revenue here jumped 16%, the main driver. A 31% surge in investment banking revenue.
Exactly. And looking closer, that strength in investment banking is coming from places like debt capital markets and advisory.
And this is where that partnership I mentioned earlier comes in. Citigroup announced a $25 billion private credit partnership with Apollo. What's the impact of that for them and for their clients?
Well, it's a really strategic move. It lets Citigroup tap into a huge pool of private credit without having to risk their own balance sheet. What it means is they can now offer clients more options for debt financing. It basically makes them a major player in the private credit market. And, you know, bigger picture, I think it shows that Citigroup is trying to be proactive, finding ways to change and grow as the financial world changes.
So it could be a very smart move for them in the long term. Now let's look at wealth management. We're seeing good momentum here. Revenue is up by 9%, and they've got a 24% increase in client investment assets. That's impressive.
There are a few factors at play. They've been focusing on their investment offerings, and we're also seeing better advisor productivity, especially in their Citigold North America segment.
Last but not least, U.S. personal banking. Revenue here grew by a solid 3%. Branded cards are driving that growth, and they saw a decrease in partner payments.
Keep in mind, though, that lower consumer spending is having an effect on their retail services portfolio. For U.S. personal banking to really take off and bring in those higher returns, we'll need to see credit costs normalize a bit.
Okay, so I've got a pretty good overview of how each of Citigroup's businesses did this quarter. Now let's talk about some broader things that can give us even more insight into their strategy and what the future might hold. We'll look at their capital, their transformation efforts, and what might be ahead for the rest of the year and beyond.
It's pretty interesting how Citigroup's performance this quarter gives us some clues about where they're headed strategically. Like that deal with Apollo, that $25 billion private credit partnership, that's a bold move, and it shows they're willing to change things up, find creative solutions in a financial world that's changing so fast.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It shows they're not just sticking to the old ways of doing things. They're looking for new ways to grow. And it fits with their goal of diversifying their revenue, not being so dependent on traditional lending.
Exactly. It's a move that could really pay off down the road, especially as the private credit market keeps getting bigger.
Another smart move, their focus on growing their wealth management business. They've been acquiring other companies, putting a lot into technology to improve the client experience.
And you can see it's working. That big jump in client investment assets this quarter, that shows they're gaining ground in the wealth management market, which has a ton of potential.
And what's interesting for investors is this could mean access to more investment products and services, all delivered in a more personalized, tech-driven way. Now, let's be real. Citigroup is facing some challenges. The global economic situation is definitely one of them.
Definitely. The slowdown globally, especially in Europe, is something they have to be careful about. It could affect their lending and investment banking, which could hurt their profits.
And then there's the whole regulatory landscape, which is always changing.
Yeah, that's right. The Basel III endgame that's coming up, and it's likely to mean stricter capital requirements for banks. That could limit how much they can lend and invest. Citigroup's got to find a balance and meet those tougher regulations, but keep growing at the same time.
So external pressures they need to watch, but they're also going through some big internal changes.
For sure. Addressing those consent orders from regulators, making their risk management and compliance systems better, that's a huge undertaking. It takes a lot of investment, can get really complicated, especially for a global company like Citigroup.
And as we saw with that recent amended consent order, it doesn't always go smoothly. But even with all of that, Citigroup seems to be moving in the right direction.
I agree. They seem committed to this transformation, and they want to come out of it stronger and more resilient. What's impressive is they're finding a way to deal with those internal issues while still going after new growth opportunities.
Let's look closer at a few areas. Their investment banking business had a great quarter. They did really well in both debt and equity capital markets, taking advantage of good market conditions.
That's true, but it's worth remembering that investment banking can be up and down. It really depends on market sentiment and deal flow, and those can change quickly. So their recent performance is good, but we need to watch for any signs that things are slowing down.
Another area to keep an eye on is consumer banking, especially in the U.S.
They're facing some challenges there, less consumer spending and rising credit costs. How fast those credit costs go back to normal will be important for this part of their business to start generating higher returns.
And they'll have to manage credit risk carefully, with the economic outlook still uncertain. What about their international operations?
Yeah, those are important. They're big in emerging markets, which could mean a lot of growth, but also higher risk. Geopolitical changes and currency fluctuations are things they'll need to handle strategically.
So a pretty complex and ever-changing world for Citigroup to navigate.
They've got a lot on their plate, driving growth, managing risks, continuing their transformation, and adapting to new regulations.
But the way they performed this quarter suggests they're making progress on all fronts.
They're showing resilience and the ability to adapt, which are crucial for any company, especially in finance. Remember we were talking about how Citigroup ended the quarter with that strong CET1 ratio of 13.7%? That's well above their target of 13.3%. During the quarter, they returned $2.1 billion to shareholders through dividends and share buybacks. Going forward, they'll keep figuring out the right amount for share repurchases every quarter, considering things like client demand and, you know, those changing regulations, especially with the Basel III endgame coming up.
Yeah, that Basel III endgame. Speaking of regulations, let's get into Citigroup's transformation a bit more. They've been working on addressing those consent orders from regulators.
They did hit a big milestone this quarter. They closed that long-standing consent order about how effective their anti-money laundering systems are. Shows they're serious about making their compliance and control functions stronger.
But it's not just about checking boxes, right?
No, not at all. Citigroup's also been investing more in areas where they know they need to do better, like data quality management. They get it. Having good, high-quality data is super important. It's crucial for accurate regulatory reporting, managing risk well, and making good business decisions.
And that's good for me as a client, yeah.
Absolutely. It means Citigroup's taking the right steps to make sure their operations are accurate and reliable. It makes them a more trustworthy financial partner.
So even with some delays here and there, Citigroup's clearly making progress on this transformation.
It's going to take years, and they're doing it with, I'd say, determination, but also flexibility. They're willing to change their approach if they need to.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk about Citigroup's outlook for the rest of 2024 and beyond. They've said they're still committed to hitting their revenue and expense targets for the full year. They're expecting revenues to be between $80 billion and $81 billion for the year, driven by growth in non-interest revenue, things like fee-based services and investment banking. Expenses, they think they'll be at the higher end of their guidance, $53.5 billion to $53.8 billion. Part of that is because they're investing in their transformation and all those risk and control initiatives.
And those investments, yeah, they affect expenses now, but they're really important for building a stronger, more sustainable future, streamlining operations, upgrading technology, making risk management stronger. All of that helps them be more efficient and resilient in the long run.
And that efficiency, that resilience, it helps me as a customer, right? Things like transactions going smoothly, better customer service, just feeling more secure. Now, what about after 2024? Citigroup's got some ambitious goals for the medium term.
Their big goal is to reach an 11 to 12% ROTCE, return on tangible common equity. Hitting that target would mean a big improvement in profitability. It would show that all these strategic things they're doing are paying off. To get there, they're focusing on growing revenue, mostly from their fee-based businesses, while managing expenses carefully and using their capital wisely.
So it's like they're playing the long game here. They're making decisions now that'll shape their future, get them ready for success in a financial world that just keeps changing.
Yeah, and one thing to really watch is how they balance those growth ambitions with the need to stay on top of regulations. That push and pull between growth and compliance, that's going to be a big deal, not just for Citigroup, but for the whole financial sector in the coming years.
We've covered a lot today, but there's always more to learn. Stay curious, keep those questions coming. Let us know what you find interesting about Citigroup's journey. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.